We find a very interesting thing when it comes to the month of Elul. Many of the Mefarshim are trying to find a new understanding of the word Elul, what the Rosh Tevos stand for, Ani L'Dol Divi Dol Yili, Ish L'Reo Matas L'Avyonim. Every year a new Sefer comes out with another explanation of Rosh Tevos. There's so many of them. And in light of this, one would ask the question, how come of all the months, Chodesh Elul is the only one where we find such an Indian of people, Rishonim, Mefarshim, trying to figure out the understanding of the month's name, and what the Rosh Tevos mean? You don't find that Cheshvan or Kislev, Iyar, people figure out what the letters stand for. It's Dafkan Chodesh Elul that so much discussion has been centered around the name Elul. Ani L'Dol Divi D'Dol Yili, and so on. A few months ago, I was sitting at a chasana next to Rav Weinberger, and we were discussing Rav Pam. I'm busy reading a book, Rav Pam, about Rav Pam, and Rav Weinberger had mentioned to me that he had the zechus of meeting Rav Pam on a few occasions. And on one of the occasions, there was a meeting called together of a number of different mechanchim. And among the mechanchim, there were some of the best in the field. And Rav Pam was leading this big meeting. And Rav Pam began the meeting with a following question. He challenged all the wonderful mechanchim, the experts in the field. What is the one word that every single Talmud is waiting to hear from their Rebbe? And many mechanchim were making suggestions, and no one could nail the answer. And Rav Pam explained to all these mechanchim that all they want to hear is their name. They want the Rebbe to mention their name. Shmuel, Shimon, Reuven, Binyamin, David. They just want the Rebbe to say their name. And on a very superficial level, though, yet very profound, the fact that the Rebbe knows their name, the fact that the Rebbe put time to put it into his memory. Rebbe's a busy individual. Talmidim each year, a new 25 Talmidim each year over the past 20 years, and he still remembers everyone's name. You come back to your Rebbe, he remembers your name, that means, wow, you left an impact. Your Rebbe cares about you. It means something to your Rebbe. That's the very simple understanding of a Rebbe knowing the name of his Talmud. It means so much. It feels so good. You see your principal 20 years later and he says, ah, Shimon, ah, Davido. It means so much that he really cared about you. To know that one cares about you. But I think that there's a even deeper understanding of why it's so powerful that your Rebbe knows your name. I don't think it means just your name he knows. I think it's the understanding that Rebbe knows who you are. He knows what's behind your name. He understands your strengths, your qualities. There's a Gemara in Yumadaf, Pei Gimel and Beis, which describes a Maisa of Rabbi Meir, who was once traveling along the way with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And they got to a place, a hotel to stay in, a little inn, and they asked the host, the Baal Bayis, Ma Shimcha, what's your name? He says, my name is Kidur. So Rabbi Meir says to himself, Shema Mina, we could learn from here that this person's an Adam Rasha. He's an evil individual. It says in Pasuk, Ki Dor Tafuchos Hema. It was a generation that turned over. Ki Dor is in the context of bad things happening. So Lashon Ki Dor implies Rishus. And that evening, when the Rabbi says, would you like me to hold on to your wallets in the safe? It was Erev Shabbos. So over Shabbos, I could hold on to it. Behuda Rabbi Yossi handed the wallets to the Baal Bayis, to Kidur. Rabbi Meir didn't. And the Gemara describes that they had a dream that night about the wallets being stolen, and they said, "Oh, dreams you see Friday night don't really mean much." And Rabbi Meir, nonetheless, he protected his wallet the whole time, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi trusted in the individual. The next day, Motzei Shabbos or Sunday morning, they said back to the Baal Bayis, the Kiddur, "Could we please have our wallets back?" To which Kiddur says, "Lo hayu dvar me'olam, this never happened. What are you talking about? You never gave me any wallets to watch." So Rabbi Meir, who was Medayik B'shmei, Rabbi Meir was very precise in understanding people's names. So based on the individual's name of Kiddur, Kiddur implies Rishus, he didn't trust him. And Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yosef, were upset why Rabbi Meir didn't tell him this concept of Medayik Shmei, to understand the person's name. But we see from this story, though, that a person's name indicates a lot of depth to who he is. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Shema Garim. Shema, the name Shem Garim, causes. A person's name gives him a certain strength and certain weaknesses. Advantages, disadvantages. Things he can accomplish, things that he'll fail at. It's all hidden within his name. And the Rizal goes so far to say about the importance of names and naming children, that when a parent is zocher, a parent is zocher having children, the Rizal writes, "Kasher nolad ha'adam," when a child is born, "V'karim lo aviv," this is found in Shar Gilgulim Hakdama Chav Gimel, "V'karim lo aviv v'imo," his parents call this child a name. Shem echad ha'ola b'daitam, some thought that they had, whatever the cheshbon was, based on someone who passed away, based on the name they liked, based on the personality they liked. Eino b'akrai u'be'ez damein, explains the Arizal, this is not just by chance, just picking it out of a hat. Kim HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisim b'fiv Hashem ha'hu ha'muchach el ha'neshama ha'hi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a certain Ruach HaKodesh in the mouths, in the minds of these parents, father and mother, to what neshama, what name this neshama deserves. Shema Garim, the name creates something. And when parents pick a child's name, and when each one of you received your name from your parents, there is Ruach HaKodesh, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was linking together the type of neshama that was brought down into this world, and the name associated with it, whether it's going to be a tzaddik or be a rasha. The Pesach Kohen points out that the parents have this Ruach HaKodesh, not the grandparents. The grandparents should not have any say. He says, I heard Pesach Kohen point out that the grandparents wanted to name a child, let them have their own children. So this is a special Ruach HaKodesh that's reserved to the mother and the father. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing them to place a name on this child that fits this neshama. Now, what comes out from this, it sounds like there's no free will. That a person was given a name like Kiddur, he's a Rasha. And his parents gave him a name like David, he's going to be a Tzaddik. Moshe is going to be a Tzaddik. Is there no free will? Is there no Bechira? Doesn't mean everything's destined based on what our parents called us and the Ruach HaKodesh given them. Doesn't mean our kids that received names by us, their destiny's already set. Does it mean there's no free will because we have a certain name? And whatever the name means, that means that's what we're going to be like. We can't change. We can't be a different person. So the Gra writes in his Sefer, well-known Sefer called Evan Shlema. It's called Evan Shlema because the Gra's name was Eliyahu ben Shlomo. Evan stands for Eliyahu ben Shlomo. Evan Shlema, it's a pasuk in the Torah. So he called the Sefer, this Indian to title the Sefer based on one's name. So Evan Shlema is a remez to Eliyahu ben Shlomo, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. And the Gra begins the Sefer, how important it is that a person, that Iker Chayis Adam, our life in this world, on this planet, is the Iker Lischazek Tamid B'Shvir Samidas, to constantly strengthen ourselves, to break bad habits, bad attributes, bad qualities. How does one do this? If we're telling us that the shame, that a name is Garim, that whatever name you received, that's who you are, those are your qualities, but how do you become better or worse? So the Gemara says, even though a person might have a tivara, his nature's bad, it could be the person was called by a name such as Kidur, which implies some tevara. A person has to fight against going against that teva. There's a certain teva a person has, but there's still bechira to go against a teva. You have to raise your children based on their teva. You can't change their nature. You could change how to direct their nature. A shame like Kidur implies some type of rishus, but you could redirect it. Lamasha, the Gemara gives an example. Misha Nolad bin Mazel Madim, a person who's born, aside from names having an effect on person's strengths, when they're born also has a certain impact. Their mazalos, the zodiacs, have impact on the nature of the child. So a person's born in a certain Mazel Madim, which means red, and a person who loves dam and blood, and he is kas and angry. So what if a person has such a nature to himself because he was born in such a mazel, or he was given a name, let's say like Yishmol, or Esav, let's say a name of a Russian. So does that mean he's going to be a Russian necessarily? His teva might be towards the world of kas and anger and destruction, but the Gemara says it's not, does not have to be that way. A parent of such a child with such a nature should train his child to be a shochet, to be involved in halacha and mitzvah, or to be even better, to be a mol, a tzaddik, the level of a tzaddik, and not to be a listen. What the Gemara is telling us here is that there's certain kochos that we're given by when we're born, by the names our parents gave us. Our children have certain kochos by the names that we have given them. And sometimes those names, those personalities come with certain strengths and certain weaknesses. We can never crush the weakness. We can never crush their danger and challenge of kas that they have to face or taivas that they have. It's all about redirecting it in some way. Redirecting it to a davar mitzvah. A person who's got kas, even though that's implied in their name, don't crush it. You can't crush a kas, but you could channel it to something good. There is free will. It's the direction that we choose for ourselves, the direction we choose for our children. There's a bird that's listed in the Torah called a chasida. A chasida are one of the non-kosher birds. The chasida, Rashi explains there on the pasuk, that why do you call it chasida? We know the word chasida implies a chasid and a chesed. And the Rashi says that for that very reason. Lama nikra shema chasida? Shows a chasidus im chaverse bimazonas. It's such a bird that has a beautiful nature to itself that it does chasid. It gives food to its other friends. They share with each other. This is not common amongst other birds, other animals. They're very territorial, other animals. The chasida bird is so unique. It's such a chasid it shares with its other friends. Asks the Chiddush Arim, if it does such chesed with its chavroseh, with its chaverim, so why is it an ov tameh? Wouldn't you imagine with such a beautiful mitzvah of chesed, it should be an ov tahor? The Chiddush Arim says, because it only does chesed with chavroseh, with its friends. But he or she who is not his friend, it doesn't do any chesed, it doesn't help out. It's very clicky. Doesn't welcome other people into the shul. Doesn't welcome other people into the community. It's very clicky. It's the most wonderful person when it comes to their best friends. But anyone outside, or someone new walks into the shul, they don't acknowledge them. So the chassid has the nature of being a bal chesed. And even people or creatures that have good midos, those good midos could sometimes be directed in the wrong place. Certain names imply bad qualities, certain names imply good qualities. There's a certain strength or weakness built within. But it doesn't mean that person's going to be great or that person's going to be terrible. Even good qualities can be misused, can be abused, like the chasida. A person who's sweet, gentle, understanding, can misuse misuse this beautiful gift of Hashem, of Chen, by manipulating people, taking advantage of people, building their trust because he's got such Chen. So you can have kochos that are good, you can have mitos tovos that are good and misuse them. And you could have mitos ra'os, which are bad, but you could channel them towards good. Many men love steak, a nice barbecue. And the hardest time of the year for them is 9 days. They can't go 9 days, well, it's really less than that because there's a Shabbos, so it's 8 days. And if the two Shabbos is only 7 days, they can't go 7, 8 days without eating meat. Oh, so terrible. But what can they do with this taiva? They have such a taiva to eat, so they're going to learn and make a seam. So they can channel the taiva, I want the goal of putting steak at the end, and use that to entice them to learn a masechta, make a seam. That's using a midah ra for a davar mitzvah. A person who has kas to be a shochet, to be a mo'. A woman could have get dressed up very, very nicely and pretty for herself and for her husband, a certain koch that she has, but she could also misuse that to try to impress others and put other people down. Everything, every midah, can be either used for good or used for bad. Every name has certain kochos and certain strengths that can be used for good and can be used for bad. B'nai Yisachar, interestingly, was written by a great tzaddik whose name was not Yisachar. What was his name? His name was Rav Tzvi Elimelech. Rav Tzvi Elimelech named his sefer B'nai Yisachar. Because the Gemara explains that when the B'nai Yisachar once went to visit Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Milublin, known as the Choza Milublin, the visionary from Lublin, the one, the seer from Lublin, the one who had an amazing vision of understanding people and Ruchnius. And so one time when the Rav Tzvi Elimelech was going to visit the Choza Milublin, he wanted to ask the Choza why he had such, that the Rav Tzvi Elimelech had such a cheshek, had such a desire and connection, that he got so excited whenever Chanukah came. Every single year, the winter during Chanukah, he was so excited. He felt such a strong connection to Chanukah. He wanted to know what his shorish was, that he was so connected and intertwined to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And so when he got to the Choza, before the Rav Tzvi Elimelech could ask his question, the Choza just spoke and said, the reason why you're so connected to Chanukah is because you come from the Shevet of Yisachar. And during Chanukah, during the times of the Chashmonaim, the Beis Din was made up of the Shevet Yisachar. They were the ones who were governing the Jews at the time of Chanukah. And because of that, you witnessed, in your Shorish, I witnessed the events of Chanukah, so you have this special excitement, because you came from Shevet Yisachar. And it was for this reason the Rav Tzvi Elimelech had named his sefer B'nai Yisachar, because he came from the Shevet Yisachar, as the Choza testified. Even though that normally there's an inyan to connect one's title of the sefer to the name of the author, he felt that B'nai Yisachar was a close enough connection because he came from the Shevet Yisachar. Now, Rav Tzvi Elimelech himself, his own name that he received from his parents, also has a ma'isa to it. Rav Tzvi Elimelech's mother, when she was pregnant with him, wanted to go visit her uncle, the Noam Elimelech in Lezhinsk. And she went to the Noam Elimelech to ask for a bracha from the tzaddik that her son should be a zara chai of a kayama, and he should be a great person in B'nai Yisrael. And Rabbi Elimelech said to his niece, not to worry, not to be concerned, so everything's going to work out well, and your son's going to be a boy, he's going to be a tremendous light into this world. And he made a request from her. He asked his niece, if you can name the child after me, name the child after me. That was the request of the Noam Elimelech. And after a few months, at full term, The mother gave birth to a beautiful boy, as predicted by the Nehemiah the Melech. When it came time to name the baby at the bris, the parents were very concerned to name it Elimelech, because the Nehemiah the Melech was still alive. And so they discussed back and forth, and they decided to add on the name Tzvi Elimelech. They didn't want it to be exactly after Nehemiah the Melech, because he was still alive, so they named it Tzvi Elimelech. And when the Nehemiah the Melech heard what had happened, he said, "A hirsh is nisht is nishkain melech. A hirsh is not a king. Had you named the name Elimelech, he would have been a great, great person. Even greater. You named him Tzvi Elimelech, so he diluted it a little bit. He'll still be a great person, but he would have been much greater had you named him just Elimelech." So Nehemiah Elimelech and the Tzvi Elimelech and the Bnei Yisachar, we see the koach of a name, how much an addition of a name can really affect a person's abilities. A shmagaram. And it's fascinating, the Bnei Yisachar, he dedicates his sefer, Bnei Yisachar, to understanding the names of all the months. That she quotes the phrase shmagaram, the name of a month, the name of a person, gives it certain strengths to work with. I think the reason why Chodesh Elul has so many interpretations and understanding the Rashi Tevos is because this is the last month of the year. It's a month we try to figure out who we are. Have we actualized our potential from the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah Tishrei? What do our names mean? What's the koach of my name, Yonas and Binyamin? What should I be accomplishing? Have I accomplished what I'm supposed to? Who could I become? Did I become what I'm supposed to? Can I become better? Can I use my strengths? Am I using them strengths in the right way? How can I use my weaknesses in the right way? Are we maximizing our capabilities? It's the end of the year. We're trying to figure out our own names. We're trying to figure out the names of the month of Chodesh Elul, what the Kochos and Elul are. Every month has a certain koach, has a certain strength, which is hidden within the name of the month. So we finally wake up at the end of the year. Who are we? Where have we been? Ayeka. Because Elul is a time where we start thinking about everything around us, our kids, ourselves, our spouse, even the months. What are the strengths of everything around us? How do we utilize everything? You know, women have a certain koach tefillah. Are the women davening like they're supposed to be davening? Do we really believe our tefillah is listened to? Do you think Hashem listens and does He answer our tefillah? Do you really believe it? I recently met with a tzaddik. He told me, he accused me, and he's correct, that I don't think my tefillah is strong enough to be answered. He told me it is strong enough. Hashem is listening to my tefillahs, and when a person asks you to daven, don't be so humble, like, what are my tefillahs? You should daven for them. It's not because I'm anyone special. It's because we all have to believe. Everyone has a koach tefillah to daven for yourself, for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, for your friends, for other Yidden. Are we learning like we're supposed to be learning? Are we doing chesed like we're supposed to be doing? Are we taking advantage of opportunities in our community, in our shuls, amongst our friends, neighbors, and family to help out the way we should? Are we using our kochos? Are we using our midos ra'os the best way they should be? Are we pushing our husbands? Are we pushing our wives to become better people? Our children to be better people? And now, when it's about finding strengths and talents that you have, or your children have, it's not only finding them, but it's also as important to give them a stage to perform, an opportunity, a chance. Remember the first time someone gave you a chance, whatever job that you have. I remember, I'm so thankful to Rav Weinberger and the Rebbetzin and H. Kodesh for giving me a chance, believing in me. Are you giving your children a chance? Are you giving yourself a chance? Sometimes you just need a chance to shine. The hardest thing is when a person has a certain koach, a certain talent, and they sometimes know that they have that talent to do something, and they're just not given that chance, they're not given the opportunity to share. Once in a while, I'll find in my kitchen a drink or food, which my wife had never seen bought before, a brand new item off the shelf. I asked my wife, what is it? She said she saw a man or a lady standing in a gourmet glot selling a new product, trying to sell their product, and she wanted to help them out. She wanted to give them a chance. Person's there, it's not the most coveted way, standing there trying to sell your cakes and your drinks and your wine. So she wants to show them some coveted brioche and give them a chance. Maybe she'll like it, and maybe she'll buy more of it. At least give them one chance, if not more. And we were discussing this topic the other day, and she pointed out that one of the drinks that she bought was called Organic Trio. It's fruit and birch water flavored raspberry lemonade. Okay. So it's fruit and birch water. So on the side here, my wife, this is the way, just how she thinks. She's always thinking of ruchnis and everything. So the side says, the way they do is they tap into the bottle, they tap into the tree. So it says, tapping responsibly prolongs the life of our trees. So drinking trio is also good for our forests. Tapping responsibly prolongs the life of our trees. My wife says, tapping into our children, tapping into ourselves, into our spouse, our husband and wives, tapping into our friends, into their hidden strengths and talents, prolongs the life of our trees, of our dear family and friends and other Yidden. The essence of a person is their name. The essence of their neshama is their name. The middle letters of neshama is shin mem, the shame. That's the center of one's neshama. It's a person's name. Go home and think about what your name means. Go think about your kohos and how they align with your name and how you should be using them. Go think about your kids' names, what they mean. At my two girls, my two older girls, bas mitzvahs, I took the time to think about what their names mean and how it incorporated into their life. And Batsheva and her name, and Yochav Tehila and her name, how it's incredible how their personalities, how their qualities are built into their name. And it's you as a parent to help channel them the best way they can, to actualize their potential, to become great people, to tap into them responsibly, to prolong their life, their happiness. Each child is viewed as a star. We know that Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem Yisbarach, they should go outside, v'yotzei l'chutzan, go count the stars, im yuchal limnos hasam, if you can, l'spor hasam. Go out and count them. You're going to have stars. You're going to have kids like the stars. Mona mispar l'kochavim, says David HaMelech, Mona mispar l'kochavim, counting a number of stars, l'kulam shemas yikra, each star has a name. Each child has a name. Call them by the name. L'chulam shemas yikra. Call them. Just not only the time at the bris milah, at the kriyas shem for the daughter. Not just that one time. Yikari, continue to call their names. Mo'nil mispar kocham. Count them individually and see their strengths. Tap into their strengths and talents and even their weaknesses. Kulam shemas yikra. Each child wants to hear their name. They want to see what they're capable of doing. They want to see that someone believes in them, that taps into them, that gives them an opportunity, gives them a chance. Rapam gave his final public drasha. He was describing the concept in halacha that has to do with teras. And teras, leprosy, could appear on a person's skin, clothing, and it could also appear in the house. You could have what's called nigei batim, nigaim teras, that develops on the wall of the house. And Rashi explains that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, people are going to see nigaim at some point in their life on the house, and they're going to show it to a kohen, and sometimes the kohen is going to say, take down this wall. Sometimes they'll say, take down this house. And there's going to be hidden behind these walls treasure that the goyim are left behind. Rapam explains, could you imagine that this yid could have lived in that house in Eretz Yisrael for 50 years before a nega begins to develop? That means 50 years he was living in this house, there was a hidden treasure below, which he didn't know about for 50 years. It says every child, every person has those hidden treasures inside them. It's the goal. It's the responsibility. It's the obligation of every single teacher, Rebbe, Rav, parent, to reveal that hidden treasure. To bring out the best of the qualities and to bring out the best of even the bad qualities. To make ourselves, make our children, make our spouses great. To call them by their name, by their neshama, the essence of who they are. And that's why in Elul, we're trying to figure out ourselves. We're trying to figure out the names of Elul. We're trying to find out who we really are. What we're really capable of doing and accomplishing. In Yirat Hashem, we shall be zoche to find the true essence of ourselves, of our children. And bizocha this year, to a year full of health and happiness, simcha, refuah, chayim, life, and to all be written in the books of chayim. And it should be this year we should no longer see tzara, we should no longer see pain and destruction, but bizocha to see the coming of the Shiach, the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash, with the Gula Shlema Ba'amitas Behemherav Yameinu. Amen.